Amateur Presentation.
Welcome back to another Untitled TIFF Review. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but he is tomato meter approved, Eric Marchi.
Matt, I'm ready to go ape.
Yeah. Day 9, 8? I don't even know what day it is, but we're back with another review. We're refreshed and...
Are we though?
No, not really. I'm drinking my 80th cold brew of the day. Yeah, I'm feeling good though. We were talking earlier before we started recording that even though I don't know what day it is, I feel pretty good this festival. Usually by this point, I'm like a broken man. I have no idea.
You're not a better man. You're a broken man. Yeah,
my brain is mush and I don't even know what movies I've seen, but I'm feeling good this festival. I don't know.
I think we've been pacing ourselves pretty well. Yeah. You know, it's no longer 40 movies in total. it's more like, oh, just, you know, see what you
20
want
to 30,
see.
Sure. Like you a know? Sane, yes. Like a normal person. Yes. Not really, but yeah, as you've already joked, we are reviewing Better Man, which just premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival. And if you don't know what that is, it's a Robbie Williams biopic musical that I don't know whether I want to like talk about the premise.
I think you have to.
Because it relies on it.
It is. And you see it in the first reel.
And they're going to show it in the trailer, right? Yes. Like, it's not like it's a
But a lot of people don't know that it's going to happen, even at the screening that I was at, which was a public screening.
So before we get rid of it, if you don't want to know anything about the movie, I'd say just like bail out now, because I think there is a... You'll probably see in the marketing whenever they start marketing the movie, because you can't market it without it.
Well, even the production still is of director Michael Gracie of The Greatest Showman on Earth, so...
So I'm curious how they'll market it. I will say it's quickly before if you're gonna bail out, it's worth seeing for sure.
Yeah.
And there is a big gimmick or concept they utilize that was surprising. I knew about it beforehand. So did you? Because we heard rumblings at
well,
other
somebody read the fine print of it and found out. A visual component that stuck out and was like, what does that mean?
So if you don't want to know anything, leave. It's worth seeing when it comes out if you want to go in completely, you know, not knowing anything. But we will give away something that's not even technically a spoiler because it's the whole concept of the movie.
Yeah.
But there is something that if you don't want to know anything, you should just go in. Anyways, 3, 2, 1. Robbie Williams is a CGI monkey. That's fun. He's Caesar from the Planet of the Apes. Even Weta did the special effects on him.
And it's incredible. Crazy. And it's so interesting because the rest of the film is, I would say, fairly conventional in
standard
its musical biopic sort of tropes and the cliches of, you know, the rising star, but then coping with fame and, you know, inner demons.
Yeah.
But just the slight change of him in motion capture and Robbie Williams playing... you know, a dancing monkey and sort of having to always feel like he's performing for everybody.
Yeah.
And literally that being a visual reference point.
A visual metaphor for the
throws
whole movie,
it off just enough without anybody ever even talking about him being, you know, an ape.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
And the visual effects are
great.
Outstanding. Like it's not just
he looks
for
like
a bit.
Caesar from Planet of the Apes.
It's
like,
fully committed and it's incredible. And you know what the thing that I was most surprised with this movie, it's actually emotional. Like, there's an element of it. I don't know too much about Robbie Williams. Like, I knew that he was in Take That, the boy band, because one of their songs would always play on Much Music back in the day.
I don't
Want You Back for Good.
Okay, I don't remember much from Take That, but yeah.
And then Robbie Williams, you know, he had his solo career as well, which is documented in this movie. Specifically, you know, songs like Rock DJ Millennium wasn't in the movie, which I was actually very surprised with, because that I think was one of his biggest hits in North America. But he's even
maybe
a bigger
that was a
deal.
Decision for him. Maybe I don't know. Yeah,
in the UK and in Europe, and there's a fun Oasis diss in the movie as well. But the emotional aspect that I was pleasantly surprised with is that you have this story of someone feeling like they're not good enough. And, you know, they're always, you know, self-deprecating and as though they have imposter syndrome and that they'll never live up to the standards of who they want to be. And obviously there's this component of the story that he is trying to navigate a relationship with an estranged father. But then there's this really beautiful sort of these character beats with his mother and his Nana, and those moments really give you the grounding in a very kind of surreal, over the top movie with, you know, splashy musical numbers and sort of, you know, playing
and darker elements. Those are the surreal elements from him
and playing into his own biography and life. And so I think it's a refreshing change of pace, even though it is very familiar in terms of how it hits those beats, but it's him as well, which I think is interesting, because like a lot of these movies, you get an actor playing the part, right? There's a younger actor playing the younger version.
Is it him playing himself?
I thought it was, because he's credited in the film.
Is he? I don't know. I was like, they did a good job. He sounds just
his voiceover at least.
Yes, right? Totally. Yeah.
I don't know about the motion capture performance itself, but his voiceover is his.
The narration?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, the narration or those beats, I thought so, but I thought the actual, there was an actor playing him, but I could be wrong. Again, there's not many details about the movie out yet, even though like I think it is coming out this year, but
and it feels like a magic trick in that way, it feels like this stream of consciousness with the character reliving these moments. And I will say that, because I do not like Deadpool at all, but it reminded me a little bit of that, with the cheeky quality of the film,
of his self-deprecating humor and like his
he earns that. And I think Robbie Williams is an interesting enough personality and a real human being, where I always got with Ryan Reynolds, where he was trying hard,
which even Robbie Williams is to an extent, but it's self-aware, maybe, where Ryan Reynolds, I guess, maybe, you know, he hasn't, it's probably the same thing, but it's more like,
I think Robbie Williams is more charming than Ryan Reynolds.
When I tweeted this out after, I called it Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and I said it was an R-rated remake of Illumination Sing, which also stars a singing gorilla in that, Taron Egerton, actually. Yes,
who played Elton John.
Yeah, which this reminded me of Rocketman quite a bit, too, which is just a, like you said, a conventional, super enjoyable musical biopic with great numbers and hits all those kind of beats that you want it to. But that gimmick that is, like, without that, it's probably a very okay movie, right? Yeah. But then that's not really being fair, because the whole movie's premise is that gimmick, right?
Yeah. Like, now, I'm looking at the visual actor, metaphor. It does say Jonah Davis for Robbie, but then it also has Robbie Williams as Robbie Williams.
So, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe it's a blend of both of them, right? Yeah. So, some numbers, the rock DJ number stands out to me. There's a moment on a yacht that I think when he's meeting his
Nicole Applegate.
Yeah, yeah. His wife, that I think is quite lovely as well. I think my one thing is I would have liked even more big musical numbers. I felt like a lot of them were either performed like at a concert or something like that. I think there is a lot, but I just felt by the end of the movie, I'm like almost wanted one more or two more like big numbers.
And maybe from the point of view of being North Americans, like from what I know of him, like something that I remember, because like Rock DJ was the one song, because it's a memorable video where he's literally stripping to the point of ripping off his own skin.
Yeah, which you do see them recreate some music videos with the ape movie. Yeah.
But Millennium, or even his duet with Kylie Minogue, Kids, like those songs kind of had crossover appeal, but I guess it's like an international thing, and if you're a diehard Robbie Williams fan, but I like that as well, even with like what the lyrics mean, the songs that he wrote later on, in terms of, you know, revealing something of himself and taking something of himself in order to deliver this, and it, you know, it deals with addiction, obviously.
Yeah, Angels is done really well.
Yeah. Which I don't like that song, but I think it's done well within the context of the film. Yeah. I think it's a very cheesy ballad.
But when you get in the context of the movie, I think it does work. There's a really sweet moment it's real life and real things that happen, but a moment, a very sweet moment that involves like a, you know, a television that I thought was really, I don't want to say too much about it, but you know what, I mentioned it to you in a text message that, like, I don't know, to me that was just a very sweet way of like you know, when you lose someone and you want to continue to kind of, you know, have a moment with them, I thought what he does in that moment, whether he did that in real life or not, is just a sweet moment in the film. Yeah, the music's great. I think the whole gimmick with the ape pays off. Like, not even it just being a gimmick. Like, I think that visual metaphor, which we keep bringing up, is very clever. And then those surreal moments that happen. It's way more stylish than I thought it would be, even if we're saying conventional. But I think it looks good, too. Yeah. Like, the cinematography is good.
It looks
good.
Like a throwback of, you know, the 90s into the early 2000s. And it kind of has, like, a digital grain to it. There's more insight into this movie than I think a lot of people were expecting as well, including myself. And you mentioned it before I saw it, but the idea of how fame stunts your growth, and you stay at one age or feel like you're not maturing or progressing in any way.
So what the age you become famous is how you act for like the time you're famous or whatever, right? You never kind of outgrow that, and the movie's about kind of getting past that, which I thought was great. And those surreal kind of introspective and dark moments, because it is an R-rated movie, so
it sure is.
You'll see ape do some cocaine and there's some really dark moments about him, you know, thinking about, you know, suicide and things like that like I think are done in a visually interesting way that pays off in a great moment at this big climactic concert.
The net worth concert.
Yeah, that there's this big kind of action sequence that I wasn't expecting that feels more like something out of Planet of the Apes movies.
So or a summer blockbuster.
Yeah. You know? So I thought that was great. Yeah, it looks way more expensive than I would have expected to.
And shout out to Damon Harriman, who plays the manager to take that. He's one of those guys that's just like an amazing character actor. Obviously, a lot of people know him from playing Charles Manson in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And in
Mindhunters. Yeah. But then also he's done great work in Nash Edgerton's The Square. He was most recently in Jeff Nichols' The Bike Riders. He's just got a really interesting look, but at the same time, always doing really great work and kind of underrated as a character actor. And you know that like he'll deliver. And he's such a jerk, especially when like his goatee starts coming in. It's very funny.
I think the movie's incredibly enjoyable, and one of the biggest surprises of the fall festival.
It had no right being this good, and I always said that already with Transformers 1, but it's like your expectations going into this because of The Greatest Showman as well, right? Where
which neither of us were a huge fan of. It's a series of music videos that I've talked to people, and you know, my sister is a big musical theater person and loves musicals and things like that, and I get pushback when I talk about how much I don't like The Greatest Showman, and they're like, how could you not like that? I'm like, I don't know, as a movie I think it's a bad movie. As a series of music videos, I'm like, I'll give you that.
And even as a biopic looking at P.T. Barnum, like, you're missing the fact that he was one of the most kind of shitty human beings, especially to animals, and you're kind of sugarcoating that with the likable Hugh Jackman. You know, but let's sing and dance about it.
Exactly.
Where the other reference to Rocketman that I want to make is that Robbie Williams isn't afraid to say that, I was horrible.
Yeah, same with Elton John in that movie.
And you have to respect that, you know, somebody is willing to show their failures and mistakes and be honest in a way that doesn't, you know, they're not afraid to tarnish their brand, or, you know, maybe music sales will go down because this feels a little bit more like a warts and all biopic, and say, you know what, I was an asshole, and this really shows that.
So. Yeah, and I think it gets away from that vanity project thing because of that. Like, you know, I think there's a little bit of that self-awareness that knows it is, you almost appreciate him. Like, the very last lines of the movie are
great.
Which
is very funny.
I think that's great, and it sums it up, right? Like, and I don't know what else to say. There's not much more to say, but I feel like it is definitely worth a watch. I think I knew nothing about Robbie Williams really, other than a couple songs, so I think that definitely helps as well. But I think that the gimmick is funny at first, but then you immediately get past it.
But it still works, though. Once you get past it, that's fine. But it throws things off just enough throughout the entire movie
to keep it kinda,
where you're like, oh yeah, like I think it's really interesting that they're not addressing this at all, which
it's
is fascinating.
A very on the nose visual
metaphor. It almost goes to show you, like, maybe in future movies, not to do this exact same thing, but just to tweak the musical biopic or just a biopic
We've always talked about that. It needs
just a little bit.
It needs something, right?
Yeah.
We talk about that with biopics in general, where you need to, you know, the Wikipedia page style kind of biopic, I think, gets kind of, you know, annoying. And just to have something that kind of adds something, I think. Like, we always talk about, we like the ones that focus on, you know, like...
a specific period in time.
Like,
or
Jobs. Or because Steve Jobs, not Jobs.
Yeah, because, like, the Oasis stuff with Liam and Noel Gallagher, that really reminded me quite a bit of... you know, Bob Dylan in Inside Llewyn Davis, where they're on the peripheral, you know, and they're around, and, you know, they're kind of becoming a big deal. And in this case, you know, Robbie Williams kind of admires them and wants to be more like that than sort of like, you know, traditional pop act.
Yeah.
And also the Gallagher brothers, you know, who are jerks, are portrayed very much so as jerks. So
there's one more thing I wanted to say, but I lost it. I forget.
And even with the relationship with the father, I think is fascinating, because the idea that the father wants to be famous himself and believes, you know, himself to be on that level that Robbie Williams is, and still kind of, you know, leeching off of his son's career, even though he abandoned him. And then, you know, the conversation about, you know, not talking about your feelings or anxieties, but just, you know, continuing to bottle up and, you know, use drugs and alcohol to just cope with things, shows how much damage it's done to a whole generation of people, because, you know, they felt like they couldn't share what was, you know, bothering them. And I think now where we are is it's a little bit better when it comes to those stigmas being sort of broken down a little bit, where people can be open about mental health and wellness and depression and talking about suicide in such an open forum. So I'm wondering, you know, like, even if using this facade that he does to portray a version of himself or to present a version of himself, if he feels like this is the most raw and real version of him he's ever exposed to the world.
Yeah, probably. A couple other little nitpicks for me. I think the length is okay, but I was feeling it.
It does feel long.
I was feeling it a little bit near the end. I don't like the song that they finish the movie on, just because it's not his music.
Yeah,
I understand.
But he does bookend it, right?
And I get that. Nevis said, my wife really loves this movie too, I should say that. But she was the one who got Eric and I to see it, actually, because it wasn't even really on our radar. And we heard about it, but we almost
We were intrigued by it,
but we were kind of like, that might not be good. but Nevis really loved it, and that's the reason we saw it, and we're very grateful for that. But yeah, I get the bookending of that, but it is about him and his music. And even the last moments with the father, like, I don't know if that's necessarily super earned, but, like, I get it.
But
I
think a part of it as well is, like, he's come to a place of acceptance.
And that I like, and I'm okay with that. I just don't know if the movie itself did enough for me to go... for him to get to that point, but I understand through time you get to that point, and especially with a father or family, like, you're probably gonna get to that point, even if they've done some not so great stuff. So yeah, overall, I think an absolute kind of must watch. I think it's really, really good. I'm surprised at how good it is. I'm very curious to see how Paramount markets it, because, like, they will go from the director of The Greatest Showman and stuff like that, and I think that initial, like, I think the trailer will start with that, and it'll smash cut to him as an ape, and I think it'll be just weird enough that people will be like, and you'll have probably Rock DJ in the trailer and stuff like that, and, like, so people will recognize some of the music, and I'm very curious to see, because Greatest Showman was a huge hit, right? So, like, I'm very curious of how this will do.
Well, how it'll play here specifically, because I think in the UK and Europe, it'll do pretty well, because he is still a very, like, I mean, he's popular worldwide, but he's even more so in parts of Europe and around the world than I think even in North America.
Yeah.
But that's not to say he hasn't had success here, because I remember Millennium playing all the time on the radio and hearing it everywhere when it was around, so it, you know, people will remember who he is, and I do think he's actually likable. Like, that's the thing we were talking about before, where his persona and personality could be considered obnoxious,
brash, and, like, abrasive,
but, like, I almost feel that it's endearing, because it feels sincere, as we were talking before, and genuine, where, you know, some people use it almost as a way to kind of disguise themselves or mask themselves, where, like, what you get is what you see with him.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. You can check out all of our TIFF reviews right here on Untitled Movie Podcast or on Letterboxd, which is Untitled_Movies. We'll be doing a ton more. We just reviewed Megalopolis, we have, oh, which was something. We have reviews from earlier in the fest of things like, what have we reviewed, Eric?
Well, we have reviewed Conclave. Yeah. We've reviewed Anora. We've reviewed Relay. We have reviewed... now I'm blanking.
I know, right?
It's one of those things where you just like, okay, what day is it? What have we reviewed? What haven't we reviewed? What are we going to review? But we have reviewed, I think, our fair share of releases. And we still have plenty more to record, whether it be at the festival or even afterwards.
Yeah, we said our brains weren't mush quite yet. And then I can't remember what I saw earlier this morning, let alone...
What we reviewed a few days ago.
Night Bitch. I'm going into...
The Brutalist,
which is...
Life of Chuck.
Now we're getting Saturday Night, another big one. So yeah. That's all over on UntitledMoviePodcast.com, podcast services, and Letterboxd. If you want our quick kind of... couple sentence reviews before you hear our podcast, you can follow both of us on Twitter @MattRoerbeck and @EM6211. And until next time,
light 'em up.